Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast. KSJE is supported by San Juan Regional Medical Center. The most important ingredients to sustaining health and wellness are the resources and tools that help you live a vibrant and healthy life. At San Juan Regional Medical Center, the goal is to promote health by making sure those resources are available. Find the path to the best life at lifebetterhere.com. San Juan Regional Medical Center. Better is our mission, improving lives through personalized health and care. Positive Realty, your locally owned, full-service real estate brokerage, proudly serving buyers and sellers throughout San Juan County. Owner Realtor Matt Albright is ready to answer your real estate questions in an ever-changing market, offering his experience, market knowledge, and relaxed professional approach to every transaction. Positive Realty, making real estate goals a reality, always working on behalf of their clients' best interests. More information at 505-787-7121 or online at positiverealtynm.com.
We have a 911. Armed robbery in progress. State Surplus Store, corner People's Drive, 24th
Street. Good afternoon. Shop with FPD. I'm your host, Chief Steve Hebby, and with me as always, the unbelievably eager Shanice. How are you, Shanice?
I'm good, Chief. How are you?
Good. We're back for another week. This will end 6 months of the year already, almost through June.
It's insane. It's flying.
It is flying, and it will be in July when we come to you next. So our final wrap-up before the holiday weekend of the 4th of July, and we've got a bunch of events there. But we have quite a bit to talk about today. We'll start with some good news for the department and for one of our officers. That's Sergeant Rachel DeCenza. She'll be hitting the department. She's coming back to a desk assignment as she continues to rehab from her injuries from the May 15th shooting. The fact that she's coming back so quickly is really great news. The potential of a devastating injury in that incident was extremely high, but Rachel has really been doing a great job on her rehab, and the doctors have done a great job taking care of her, and so we're pleased that she'll be back next week working on a desk duty assignment for us, so the first real significant step on her way back to full duty with us. So that's exciting news for us.
No, absolutely. She came into the department today, and she had a cane. They said last week that she was on crutches. Today she's walking with a cane, so it's phenomenal.
Yeah, that is. And it really goes to some of the things that I just mentioned, that the docs behind the scene, the medical care, really from the start at Alaska Regional that day, and not just for Rachel, but for many of our citizens, San Juan Regional Medical Center did a great job. They had a lot of staff that was on scene waiting for potentially more injured to come in. So really a shout out to the nursing staff and the doctors and the ER at San Juan Regional. They did a great job, and we're thrilled. We're thrilled that Rachel's come this far this fast. When you think about it, just a little over a month ago she was shot. So that's just great news for us. Lots of other things going on. We've got Freedom Days coming up, and coming up pretty quickly. Are you one that attends a lot of Freedom event activities?
I'm not, but I will be there this year. I'm taking pictures of the chief getting dunked. I'm excited about it.
Yes.
Have my daughter throw some balls.
Yes.
Watch you go under.
So it won't be the first time I've done the dunk tank. And my understanding is they have a new and improved dunk tank this year. Last year I was on it, and it was like 45 minutes of a lot of soakings. But it will be on Saturday at the Ice Cream Social from 11 to 3. And I'll be there taking a – oh, there I am in slow motion. Thank you, Scott. So the ever-capable radio staff here was able to pull up some video. I miss just radio, you know, before we had all the Facebook Live. I know Shanice loves Facebook Live and the show, but I kind of miss just the radio aspect. But it was a lot of dunkings. I was extremely wet for about an hour and my turn in the hopper. I think the mayor may be in on some of that as well. And there'll be some other celebrities. Are you getting dunked, Scott?
No.
I don't.
They haven't asked me to be dunked.
Really?
I think I'm otherwise engaged on that.
Are you?
Yeah.
I don't know if I've ever seen your hair soaking wet.
Well, it's kind of water resistant.
well, then there's that, folks. You know, I don't really know how you can't always trade barbs with Scott. He's a little too sharp sometimes. But there's a lot of events going on, culminating in the Colin Ray concert. Colin Ray, a very popular country singer. I know quite a few of his songs. Do you know his song, Shanice? Shanice is, we've got some educating to do in a variety of areas. We're talking in the fall. We'll begin focusing on some of the Packer defensive players. Let Shanice kind of break down some game film for us. We'll have to get Shanice a little more familiar with Colin Ray as well. But I know Colin Ray, and a very good singer. So if you have a chance, that's a free concert out in front of the Civic Center on the 4th of July. Just a perfect setting. So come on out and enjoy that. Hopefully we won't be in the 90s. We've sure been hot lately. And I think they're saying 90s all week this week. So that's a little stouter for us. But it does cool off at night. So, and from the dunk tank, we had a special request to talk about the Titanic and the tourist submarine that appears to be in significant trouble. And that comes from Scott Squared here in your studio that brought this up as a topic. And Shanice, have you been following the whole submarine to the bottom of the Atlantic?
I have, and it's terrifying to think of what those moments are like for them. So
it's a private business, I think, that runs these basically sub tours down to the wreck of the Titanic, which seems like it would be fraught with peril. And then apparently it is. I don't think they even have any idea what went wrong with it in the first place. But they are scrambling to see if they can save anybody that's still down there. But I might not take that tour. I'm not a big guy on submarines in general. Maybe underwater with a little snorkel I can do, but I don't know about a submarine.
I don't like water in general, so just the thought of any of it.
Well, you're in the right state then, yeah. Aren't you? We don't see a heck of a lot of that. So Shanice is safe on that level. But that has been a tragedy that we've been following. And you'd like to think that we're going to wind up with some good news on that. But I think every day that passes, it's less likely. Some of the cases that we maybe haven't been talking about so much lately, the homicide that we had at the mall, continues to be one that our detectives are working on hard, but really have difficulties with it. So we try and collect all the video evidence we can. In this day and age, there's usually a lot of video evidence. You know, we're probably lacking in some of what we've been able to recover so far. So anybody that has information on the mall homicide, which occurred several months ago now, FPD continues to work it. Our detectives are taking it seriously. And we're looking at what leads we can, but anybody with information on that case, we urge you to give us a call. We'd like to hear from you. We've also, since the last time we talked, we did a neighborhood forum in the vicinity of Dustin and the May 15th shooting. This forum was kind of started with the Congresswoman, Ledger Fernandez, for our district, kind of reaching out. She wanted to meet with families and didn't exactly know what the best forum to do that was. And so we kind of put together a forum for her, but we used it based on some of the things we'd learned from our walk up and down meeting with folks, and realized that there were people that needed construction, repairs done to their house, needed social and mental health services. And so we put together a forum. We had a variety of contractors that volunteered their time, and they showed up in force and were willing to work with residents to help them get past it. But overall, it was while it was a good event, it was also somewhat sobering. The community still really reeling from the events that had happened on May 15th.
And those platforms kind of show us what's really needed. Just like when you and the mayor went door to door, you learned some things that were needed then. And then we did this, and we've learned more things that the community's needing. So,
yeah, in the wake of it, there was so many things going on, and we're focused on the investigation, of course, and giving the public as much information as we can. We're focused on, obviously, the health of the two officers who were shot in the incident. We're focused on trying to make sure that we've got all the evidence from the scene and then get that out of there. And once we did, we got that out of there, and we kind of focused internally on how our officers were doing and our staff. And then we did the walkabout with the mayor and the city council just to talk to some of the residents in that area. And you do start to learn a little bit more. And what really I came away with is I didn't do a great job on seeing the need for more community outreach in that area in the wake of it. We dealt with the issue, and there was a lot surrounding that, and then our officer shot and the other officer shot. But the community was still really reeling. And when we held the forum for the congresswoman, it was clear, some people are still, they don't like to go outside during the day because that's when it happened. They don't like driving down Dustin because they remember the bodies. They remember hearing the gunshots. So very traumatic event. So, we are going to work with other agencies like the Office of Emergency Management at the county level and be better prepared next time to come in and do something for the community to kind of give them a critical incident stress debriefing type of scenario, a chance for them to come in and just talk about how they're feeling and what their concerns are. And not so much on the things that I was focused on and what's going on with the case, but more how do we repair our community and get us back going back to normal living. So that was kind of my first time through something like this, and I definitely learned from it. We will be better prepared next time, but it was sobering to spend time with people that are still very traumatized by the event.
And it wasn't a community event, it was just specific for that neighborhood, so we didn't publicize it. I made a flyer, and we went door to door in about a 3-block radius and passed them out. And so we didn't really know what the turnout was going to be, but there were a lot of people from the neighborhood, the contractors, there were lots of people, there were plumbers, there were people offering paint services, people offering stucco services. A gentleman is going to have his mom make the woman who had her blinds ripped through, mm-hmm. new curtains. I was surprised at how big the event turned out, but
yeah.
It was great.
It was good. I mean, we've seen throughout all the years, when there's major events, you see some of the best of people kind of rallying for each other, and certainly that was true that night when you looked around. There was people that didn't need to be there and weren't getting anything out of it, but they wanted to pitch in and wanted to help. And then just the stories from some of the neighborhood. They remembered the gunshots and how it sounded, and still really were, shaken by the whole event. So I think they got something out of being together, and we probably are planning another event just for them, kind of along the lines of what I'm talking about, something that more gives them a chance to debrief and just talk and get out their feelings around people that know what it was like and were there. We're going through some of the same experiences. So, we didn't do much publicity on it because we didn't want it to be a media event, and it's not a something for other people to just show up and watch. We really wanted it to be for the target of people that were affected by the event. But nonetheless, I was surprised at the number of people that turned out for it. And we did an after action. I'm sure that people wonder, what does the department do? What does any department do when you have something like that happen? We're still digesting some of the lessons from it, so I talked about our need to do a better job next time with the community. But in general, we partnered with the fire department, the county, the sheriff's office, some of the other entities that were there, medics, and we had a debriefing this week to kind of talk through what were some things that we thought went well and what are some things we need to do a better job of next time. Just like we saw in the Aztec shooting, we did learn things in the wake of the Aztec shooting. Some of those we were able to bring to bear in this incident and helped us here. And the same will be true if and when there is another event somewhere in the county. You know, all the agencies that were able to participate in that after action will have had a chance to kind of think about some of the lessons learned from it. And you were there. That was the first one like that you've been to. And what'd you have to think about it?
What's crazy is from like a civilian standpoint, you know that fire departments and police departments, they train for this kind of stuff all the time, at least annually. So during the debrief, the countywide one, everyone was kind of mentioning that the practices always are for schools and for churches. They're always indoors because that's what they're expecting. And so when this happened, all the plans came apart because it was outside. And then showing up on scene and not really having that plan on what to do, it restructures all of it. So now it's a whole other plan that you guys have to come up with on what do you do if it's outdoors.
Outdoors. Yeah, and you know, we were fortunate, really, that he didn't decide to head up to one of the schools, which is the stuff, of course, we train for more and we're maybe better prepared, but which by the time we get there, the casualty rate could easily be significantly higher than it was. But it was an unusual one that it started kind of outdoors and then it moved throughout the community. It wasn't even like some of our SWAT calls where there's some sort of shots fired call at a certain residence and we get there and we kind of contain it, evacuate neighboring residences and then just deal with the problem right there in front of us. This one was on the move. And I've talked about it here and in other forums, how great the community's response was. They were coming out of their houses despite the obvious carnage and the obvious threat to them. They were coming out of their houses and trying to help officers identify where it was. And that isn't a typical one for us. You know, maybe within a school you'd be trying to locate the shooter, but in a neighborhood, it is not something that we practice very much. And I thought the results were surprisingly quick and effective, and a lot of that was because of the partnership with the community and helping us identify where the suspect had gone and what they were seeing as they were calling dispatch. So we had lots of calls. So it really was, dispatch was at this debriefing and some of the lessons learned from the dispatchers. I know they had staff scrambling in, just like I talked about the hospital. They had staff scrambling in from off duty, just coming in to help answer calls because they knew there was going to be an overwhelming impact on dispatch. So it was a traumatic event for the entire San Juan County law enforcement and first responder community. And so we got together this week and kind of talked through some of the lessons learned, and we'll continue to digest those. And it'll affect training. It'll affect some of the things that we do with our officers to get ready for the next event, if it happens.
Even for equipment used, so they were saying the fire department has vests, but they're in one vehicle so that if something happens, that vehicle can drop them off, that it's not a hot spot, and they weren't prepared for that. So we had firefighters with trying to find the officers, but they didn't have vests, and then same thing with EMS. So now they're having to purchase vests for everyone so that they're in the units at all times.
Sure. No, I mean, we're talking through, obviously, some of our officers weren't in vests at the time. Their jobs, like mine, are more desk-oriented. So detectives in training, you know, they're not walking around the station in vests all the time. But making sure that we've got vests available if they need them, because they are going to respond to stuff like this, and they did. Vests aren't always the answer. Obviously, you know, Rachel was wearing a vest, and still you can get shot, but it really does increase the longevity of officers if they do get shot in the torso and they're wearing a vest. So we are looking at some of our policies as well. So, you know, really these things are terrible, but you got to force yourself to kind of walk through it and see what we could do better. And what we did do well, for the future. And so there were some things we did well. I thought the coordination with fire and medics was great. Mm-hmm. We were scrambling in very quickly, and you don't see that in every jurisdiction. That's been something really throughout my law enforcement career that has dogged departments and fire departments at different times is not having a cohesive response together. And our response here was outstanding with medics as well. So I was pleased with that, but we'll continue to digest that stuff, rest assured, and see how we can do things better next time. So that event involved the congresswoman, who also came to the community and met with some of the residents and talked with them. And I thought it was great that she made it a point to show up and did want to visit with folks. And like we said, not a huge event attracting a lot of attention. Just wanted to meet with some of the people in the community and see what she could do, if anything, to help. And I think, judging from what I saw watching the number of interactions with her, you know, people were attracted to her and wanted to talk with her about their experience and how they felt the congresswoman could help in the future. So overall, I thought it was a worthwhile forum.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
So we, you know, we'll continue to digest that. As far as some of the other things which we're trying to get back to, you know, we talked about the homicide investigation from the mall. We have some other things that are going. As you know, we purchased a building almost a year ago now for the police department to eventually move to. That will be a long process, and which we knew would be a long process. But we've continued to have meetings with the architect. I think we've finalized temporary plans on that. By temporary, I mean we know roughly what we want, and now we're going to have to figure out who's going to do that work. Some of it we can do as a city, and then some of it's going to be heavy hauls, like putting in a new locker room, putting in a new armory for our weapons and things like that. And there you're contracting out. So my guess is it'll take us another 3-4 months to figure all that out as to who's going to be able to do what and how we go about on that. But I would be hopeful by the end of 24 that the PD is moving into the building. But I think we'll probably be doing more of a slow roll. We'll start rotating some folks in to sections of the complex, and there's a couple of different buildings in there. So sections of the complex that we either finish construction on or we're not going to do that much construction, we'll start rotating some of our folks in there, you know, over the next year or so. We're going to start doing some trainings out there. I understand we're just out putting together table and chairs that we bought. There's a huge training area in there, and so we'll hold some conferences and we'll hold some of our trainings over there from time to time and start showing the flag more in that neighborhood. And we're excited to be part of that part of the city. You'll see us gradually moving in there, and we'll be thrilled when we finally do get in.
Yeah, I'm excited. It's a beautiful building. It's a big building. You don't really think that it's that big from the outside, but yeah, walking through it, I was amazed.
Yeah, and then a couple of different buildings within that maze. So it's more organized than the current building we're in, which is actually generally a maze. If you've ever watched The Shining, have you watched The Shining, Shanice?
No.
Oh, for the love of Pete. So there's something else. And watch The Shining. It's Jack Nicholson. It's a classic. But there's a maze in the end of all shrubs and bushes, and then he gets lost in the maze and has to try and figure his way back out of it. And that's a little bit like our current police department. It's kind of cobbled together, and if you get dropped in there on a Friday night, you know, good luck getting there by Monday. You might find an exit door.
I still don't know the way downstairs. I avoid it unless I'm with somebody, because I still don't know my way around.
So Packers, and then The Shining, and then a tour of the downstairs for Shanice. These are things that I'm making, you know, notes here in my book, and we'll continue working on in the future.
Is The Shining a scary movie?
It is a scary movie.
Oh, yeah. Let's mark that one up. I don't do scary movies.
Oh, for the love of Pete.
No way.
She works at a police department.
I know.
She's safe in the office, you know? we'll work on that. But, yes, The Shining is a good one. Yeah, but our current building, you know, was, I think, many things. It was a part of a courthouse. We had a jail there. It was part of a police department. I think there were even city offices there at one point, and those city offices move out. So it really wasn't a police department. It became kind of a cobbled police department. To this day, right now, we have a storage section that is the old jail. So, you know, we got the bars and all the jail cells, and right now we store things like our uniforms and our leather gear and things like that in there. So, you know, we're doing the best we can with the space we have, but we do look forward to the chance to move into a new building. And I think we're coming up on the end of our time together, and that will be the end of the first 6 months of 2023. It's gone unbelievably quickly. We hope you have a great 4th of July and make your way down to Freedom Days. Hope to see you at the dunk tank. Maybe not throwing at me, but you know, see me at the dunk tank. we'll see if we can get Scott in that next year. But until next time, have a great time on the 4th and take care. We'll see you next time.
KSJE is supported by the Harvest Food Hub, featuring local produce and goods located at 310 West Animas Street in downtown Farmington. The Food Hub is open Wednesday through Friday from 3 to 6:30 p.m., Saturdays 11 to 3. The Food Hub accepts all forms of payment, including SNAP. SNAP recipients receive 50% off all produce. Weekly, bi-weekly, and monthly farm boxes will begin June 22nd, with a discount farm box available for San Juan College students. SanJuanCollege.edu/HarvestFoodHub.
Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at KSJE.com.